You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley-Davidson. Online at WirthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. And bike nights every Thursday night at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
You shouldn't score here.
Pass to the end zone, and it's a touchdown. He beats Hughes again.
Great throw, great job, but why?
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Yeah. I think it's awesome. But you just gave Patrick Mahomes now 32 seconds.
With a timeout.
All you do is you hand it off there, or you down it. You should have downed it right there.
Coach Reed was talking to me about that. Probably had they run it, they probably would have scored then, too. It's probably the best way for me to answer that without getting too deep. You know, Coach Reed was all over it, but it really wasn't until they got down inside the 5 yard.
Coach Reed has been released. He is in great spirits, doing well. You guys know him almost as good as me, and he's chomping at the bit. He'll probably be here later today or in the morning to be back at work.
And now, to assure you all that the sky is not falling, at least not yet anyway, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Grab a line right now, people. Let's get it on. Let's dance. Here we go.
Let's get it on.
Sending your the Mills Lane.
Yeah. I love that.
Let's get it on.
He was awesome, by the way.
He was.
tap the nose and point when they had introduced him. He was a ref, for those that don't know, ref many, many championship fights back in the day. Mills Lane. And was clearly a former boxer himself.
Yeah, the ears.
Great judge also.
Was he? Did he judge too?
He did some TV judge show.
Oh, that's right. He did, didn't he? That's right. I forgot about that. He was a judge by profession, is what he did in his day job. And then he was a championship boxing referee at night. I know OU Rock probably has many a Mills Lane story. I actually got to interview him a couple times in Vegas when I worked at the network there. That was a lot of fun. Anyway, a lot to get to. Enough about boxing refs. Let's get to the Chiefs. You know, who are we cutting? Who are we firing? What has to happen? You're not going to take it anymore. You know, all that, you know. Mm-hmm. Damn, if this franchise isn't going to do better by this town, you know, whatever kind of lunacy I'm sure is going to be heard today. You know, we started last week on Monday. It tends to become a little bit more thought out. And so I'm sure Anderson & Anderson, the law firm of, who handled post-game as Josh Briscoe, working his way back to the station. And we, of course, echo the sentiments. Texting with Josh yesterday as he had a scare, put us all through a scare, but is on his way back. So I echo the sentiments of the guys in the zone.
Should have been here.
Are you going to take it serious or not, man? Trust me, if we didn't tell him to stay home, he probably would have been in here.
Probably so.
Because Briscoe loves that stuff. Anyway, they told me that, you know, it was fire Andy Reid, trade Tyreek Hill, trade Chris Jones, you know, all this stuff come firing out. And look, there's always, you know, it's an overreaction Monday after every loss.
Yep.
And really probably every win as well. Let's start by this. I put this out there on the Twitter a little bit ago. If you don't follow me on Twitter, I mean, what are you waiting on? At Soren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. I said, what does this team finish? Right? The end of 17 regular season games, what are they going to be? Let's go. Adam just checked in. He said 13-4. 15-2. I noticed that it's gotten better as the days worn on. Like, even the minutes calm people down and optimism starts to take back over. 13-4, 12-5, 15-2. After the playoffs, 18-2 with a ring. 12-5, 13-4. Now here's one. This is from half hour ago. 10-7, 12-5 in a wild card. 12-5, 11-6, 12-5, 12-5, 13-4, 11-6, 12-5. Notice how we're getting back to the 11s in there. You know, 13-4, 12-5, 11-6, 13-4, 13-4, 14-3. 12-5, 13-4, 11-6, 12-5. Let me scroll all the way back to the beginning. After I asked it, where did I ask it? It must have been right about in here. You can tell when, like, somebody's friend group gets a hold of it. And, like,
yeah.
Three buddies
exactly
come firing in.
Bing, bang, bong.
13-4. Oh, no, hang on. I'm sorry. Jump back up. Somebody else tweeted in and it shot it back up to the top.
What watermark I saw was
214-1.
Oh, I saw eight. I saw a couple of 8 and 9s and a 9 and 8. Didn't see 214.
There's a 214-1 in there. It's a 214-1.
I credit you for the tie.
Yeah. 8 and 9, 11 and 6, 12 and 5, 12 and 5. 13 and 4, 10 and 7, 11 and 6, 11 and 6, 8 and 9, 12 and 5, 11 and 6. You know, early on in the discussion, there was a lot more pessimism. 10 and 7, 9 and 8. Let's go around the room here. What do you got them at now? What do you have them at to start?
I think I had them at 13 and 4.
And what do you got them at now?
I'll say 12 and 5.
Jed?
I had them at 14 and 3, and just because I'm a reasonable person, I think that they're clearly only going to win the one game.
Yeah.
Duh. Come on, seriously.
No, I think that that probably backs them up one game. I think they'll go 13 and 4 now.
Okay. I had them at 12 and 5, and I'll stay at 12 and 5. I'm not ready to back off because I felt like last year, you know, there was a question that got a chuckle out of Eric Bieniemy, and I thought almost he was trying to make a point, and I'm going to make a point about Eric Bieniemy's answer here in a minute. I felt like last year they maybe got away with some things, right? Just in the yin and yang. Like, you keep playing close. You put your hand close to the stove all the time, eventually you're going to get burnt.
That team's not generally going to go 14-2 with the games played the way they were last year.
I think they're a good team that knows how to finish. I think they're a hard team to kill. I think they've proven that even in these two losses. They've played three close games. They've only won one. And I think there was an element of that being somewhat due for them to get burnt by that, kind of in the turnovers equal turnaround category, right? If you're constantly living on the plus on turnovers one year, next year it's probably going to bounce the other way for you. That kind of happened in this game. The ball was on the ground twice. They actually got one of them back. Mahomes put it down, and he fell back on it.
Yep.
But Clyde Edwards-Helaire is 0-for-2, right? You know, he's kind of having some negativity. Should be about 50-50 on recovering fumbles. His fumbles are 0-for-2. The interception, the first interception, Kemp, I mean, catchable ball. He doesn't catch it. It ricochets. It gets picked off. They're kind of due for some bad luck like that. Now, they did some other things. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is fumbling the ball. I'm not saying that that's just a fluke. He's fumbled twice in two games. There's an issue there. They need to correct it. But they've been kind of due for that. And it's just natural that the opposition would begin to make up ground on you. Right? Like, what have the Chiefs gotten better at weaponry-wise this year over last year on offense? Where are they better?
I don't think they're better anywhere. I think they're better than they were in the Super Bowl on the offensive line.
Weapons.
But weapons, no.
So when you talk about schematically how you're going to defend this team, nothing's changed. They've just taken Sammy Watkins out of the equation, whatever time he was actually going to play. They're actually down a receiver.
Yeah.
Okay, so Watkins, when he plays, is a qualified NFL receiver. He's not a star. He's not irreplaceable. What you hoped was Mecole Hardman was going to take a step and be better than Sammy Watkins. Byron Pringle was going to take a step and be better than last year's Mecole Hardman. You know, that's how they were going to have to improve. Noah Gray, Jody Fortson. Fortson caught a touchdown. I'd listen to the backup tight ends better. I'd listen to it. I'm not ready to wave a checkered flag because one random touchdown got caught in a game. But I'd be open to the idea that they're going to be better in the long haul on that. My point is this, and I'm open to the idea that Patrick Mahomes is better now than he was week one, that with every game, Patrick Mahomes' knowledge of the game continues to get better early in his career. At some point, that's going to be done. He's seen all he can see, knows all he can know, and then he's the finished product. I'm open to the idea that there's still a little finishing going on there. But for the most part, this offense is what it is. It's natural to think that the rest of the league would catch up to them. Until they add a new major weapon to the equation, why would you think that this offense would be anything but regressing? Not regressing from on a scale of 0 to 100, if they've been a 92 or 3 or 95 on a Madden, they've been a 99. They're not a 41. But if they were a 92 and they're an 88 now, that's believable. defensively, they've made some changes, but to this point, it hasn't seemed like they're better. It seems like they're worse. They played better this week. But overall, so this is what happens when you're a Super Bowl champ. It's also what happens when you're a Super Bowl champ that tries to retain every star. Is you got to be really good in the college free agents with your draft picks, finding guys under the radar that play better. It looked like the Chiefs had really done that, right? With Mike Hughes. For two games, Mike Hughes was graded a top 20, I think 16 or 17 overall in the NFL in cornerbacks. Now after the third game, we see why Mike Hughes was available. Mike Hughes was worked over by Mike Williams, who generally speaking has one good game a year.
Yeah, and that was yesterday.
And then as the rest of the year, as any fantasy player who's been like, I'm going to pick up Mike Williams and give him a shot. He's a Clemson guy. This should work out. He's really not a speed guy. He's just a jump ball guy. But he managed to turn Mike Hughes around. You know, how have they gotten better? The reality is they're pretty much the same team. And if you stay the same, you're moving backwards in the NFL. Now, they and the Bucs can afford to move backwards and still be a championship-caliber team. Be better, be a favorite, be a stronger team than they were last year? Probably not, and that's probably not going to happen. And listen, from 2004 to 2014, every year in between those 2 years, the New England Patriots did not win a Super Bowl. Tom Brady led them into the playoffs every year but one. That was when he was hurt. But they went to the playoffs every year. They didn't win a championship. Didn't even get – they got to the Super Bowl twice. So 8 times they didn't even get there. Right? This may just be one of those years. And it'll be back to the drawing board and some changes need to be made. Listen, I'm happy to take phone calls. I'm happy to hear this guy needs to go and that guy needs to go. But if you've got a bunch of venom in your voice and you're somehow pissed and you want to call people morons, you're a clown. I'm just going to tell you up front, you're a clown. There's a winner's tax in the NFL. You pick last in every round, and the minor league is provided by college football 3+ years of polishing every player off to where you really have a very good idea of what their potential is, who they are, and then having to pick last in every round is a big penalty. And nobody called and bitched when the Chiefs were signing up all these guys. In fact, most people called to complain that I was saying, I don't know that I'd sign every guy. I think you need to be a little hungrier. Maybe turn over the roster a little bit more. The running back sounds great, and I have no problem with it. It's not a stupid idea. But now you pay the price for it. So you can't be on board for all that and then turn around and bitch and say, well, why isn't the roster completely different? Because you can't turn it over in 1 year. You do have to turn it over about every 4 years, though. So this is it. This is what it looks like being a champion. See the Royals. Right, you've been through it with the Kansas City Royals. You don't just keep running the same guys out for the next 40 years and keep putting hardware up. Every year is its own season. Every year presents a challenge. Every year requires a lot of work to be done by you and your staff. The Chiefs have done a lot of work. Is it enough? I don't know. We'll see. There were some promising signs on defense. There were promising signs on offense and self-inflicted wounds. I think it's pretty easy. I think it's absolutely fair to say this team's a couple of plays away from being 0-3. And I think it's absolutely fair to say this team's a couple of self-inflicted wounds away from being 3-0. And nobody having any problem whatsoever with what's going on with the Chiefs. They're deficient on defense. They're still a work in progress. They made some progress. Time's going to tell how much better they can get. The one thing to me, the biggest theme, and then we'll go to the lines, and we've got a lot of people lining up, 913-83-810-810. The one thing that jumps out to me the most from this game is where, and I asked questions. Andy Reid wasn't available today. He is out of the hospital, if you missed that. But they had Steve Spagnuolo and Eric Bieniemy available today. And I asked, I know Steve Spagnuolo got the questions. I got my notebook somewhere, but I don't know if I was the one who asked Spagnuolo.
Listen here. Which one was
it? Did I ask Spagnuolo about the fourth downs? Somebody else did. No, Adam did. Adam Teicher did.
The mentality that goes into playing defense.
But I did ask Eric Bieniemy. And by the way, we got very drastically different answers from Steve Spagnuolo and from Eric Bieniemy about the Chargers going forward on fourth down. Somebody's full of it. Okay? Somebody's full of it. I mean, not villainistically and not like a moron, but they're different answers, so somebody's not telling us the truth.
Okay. At least one person.
Yeah.
They both could be.
Or both of them aren't. I mean,
different versions. Of,
both of them are lying, and which would still put them on different sides of the
street. Absolutely.
But the one thing that's clear to me that the Chiefs are going to have to get their arms around, and from Eric Bieniemy, I got mostly the vibe that it's like, we got it all figured out. We talk about everything. No, nothing is a surprise. And Steve Spagnuolo, I thought, was very, you know, honest in saying, yeah, you know, we don't have a book on Staley. You know, two games. We don't know.
He called him Stanley.
Yeah.
That's how little he knows about Brandon Staley. Didn't even get his name right, but that's, you know.
Is this guy Captain Conservative, or is he a riverboat gambler? They don't know. They had two games to go on.
Yeah.
Right? Which, to me, I buy that more than maybe some of the stuff I heard elsewhere. But one thing is clear, and I've said this for a long time, going forward on fourth down is going to be the statistical revolution in the NFL. I'll liken it to on-base percentage in baseball. It's going to happen. They're going to do it more and more. We're seeing it happen. And we're seeing it happen at the Chiefs' expense because Patrick Mahomes is the great deodorant in their own meeting rooms. If you start going for it for fourth down, there is an element of you're telling your defense, we don't think you can get a stop. You're telling your own defense, we're not sure you can stop them, so I'm going for it on fourth down because we got to win it right here. And I think that, coupled with it just hasn't been done before, and coaches know only what those that came before them have done. And those that are true innovators are few and far between. What Patrick Mahomes has done has given them the out in the post-game press conference. Well, why'd you go for it on fourth down? You didn't get it. You gave the ball short yardage. Patrick Mahomes is going to score whether I make him go 80 or 50. We're just trying to hold him to threes. I got to get sevens. When I'm close, we're going for it. And that's an acceptable answer because everybody around the NFL can look at it and say, yeah, he's that dangerous. And that Chiefs offense is that dangerous. That makes sense. It's the one time you get a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's okay to go for it on fourth down. And the more success they have, the more other teams are going to do it. The Raiders did it last year and won, and for whatever reason, people didn't do it. They dug in the offseason. They saw it. Now they're all doing it. And throw in the fact that the Chiefs defense has severe problems right now, and there's reason to believe that all the offensive coaches will be like, 5 yards is nothing against this pussy underside of a defense. So let's go. So you have the perfect storm. The analytics have said go for it for years. The math nerds have been telling them go for it on fourth down. Their cowardice of the post-game press conference has kept them from doing it for years. But now Patrick Mahomes has taken that away. I can go for it. If I don't make it, I can just say Patrick's the problem. So now they'll go for it. Throw in a defense that can't stop them, and they're going to do it even more. And what has to happen next, and we'll hear the enemy on this, is the Chiefs have to react. And they have to quit game planning from the standpoint that teams are going to kick it on fourth and four. And they got to start to assume our defense is going to have to stop them four times, not three. And how often is that going to happen? Teams average 5.6, 6.1 yards per play. Why wouldn't you go for it? Analytically, they've been telling you to do it for years. And now they're empowered and emboldened to do it. They're going to keep doing it, and the Chiefs are going to have to do it back at them. Now, this game, that's not what cost them. They only had two fourth downs, a fourth and 9 and a fourth and 14. The fourth and 14 was deep in their own territory. It was time to punt. The fourth and 9 was at the Chargers 16. Short field, much easier to defend. They wisely took the field goal. Or the analytics might tell you to go for it there, but to me that's a much more debatable
given
cause.
The situation and what had happened before it. Getting that zero off the board was important.
And I'm all for following the math, but I think you don't just jump right into the nth degree of the math and say, well, we're actually going for it on every fourth down like the high school in Arkansas does. Let's tread a little bit lighter out there. Let's get going on the fourth and fours at your own 36. Let's go for it for the fourth and seven at their 35. Let's get that under your belt, and let's see how the math changes. Does once the defenses know that you're going for it, does it change and do they get better? And the fourth down success rate goes way down. That's, to me, what has to change. Because as people start to go for it on fourth down more, the math around it's going to change. And you want to evolve with the evolution. Don't run right out past it and get yourself to where you've gone too far. You've swung too far in the pendulum. 913-3-810-810. Chiefs lose 30-24 They're 1-2. I still think they win 12 games on this year. It's where I thought they'd be. I probably thought they would not have this many losses now, but I think they'll get wins that I thought they were going to lose later on. This is a team that has basically shot itself in the foot, both feet, yesterday, and still almost limped to a win. They're fine. They're fine. They're not extraordinary. I don't know that they're definitively the best team in the NFL or definitively the second best team. They're still a championship caliber football team, and they will be fine. 913-3-810-810. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
He has the body of Adonis, but the eating habits of Homer Simpson.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. One more stat before we go to the phones at 913-3-810-810. Curtis has delved in and is ready to tell us that when you turn the ball over four times since 2011, mm-hmm. you turn the ball over four times and take it away zero, what kind of success do you have?
Before yesterday, you are 2-83. That's now 2-84. Since 2011, teams with a giveaway takeaway of exactly 4-0. Not just plus or not just minus yeah. four, but specifically 4-0. 2-84 since 2011. That is a tidy 0-23 percentage. Since 1940, they are 21-4-15-2, an 0-50 winning percentage. And the two teams that did win both won by 1 point. That wow. was Detroit against Dallas in 2013, and the Raiders at Denver in the season finale a year ago.
Wow.
They won 32-31.
So if they don't turn it over, they look a lot better.
Yes.
Right? That's the big takeaway from this. If they don't turn it over four times, I'll bet they win that game. 913-3-810-810. Let's see what the fans have to say. Let's start with Sal. You're in the program, Sal. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Soren. Hey, Curtis. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Just want to make sure you can hear me. Okay. I just wanted your guys' feedback in two areas of the game, particularly regarding the leaders of the team. You know, I live in Wisconsin, but was fortunate enough to see the game live. So it's a different experience when you're kind of seeing the players, you know, right there in front of you and everything. But the first area is that, you know, the leader of the offense, Patrick Mahomes didn't look comfortable in the offense. It just looks sporadic and uncoordinated. I just wanted to see if you agreed, and if you agree, like, what's that attributed to? Is it the line, or is it the receivers, or is it the coaching? Or is it even him? I mean, we're used to him ad-libbing and making plays on the fly, but it seems like that's a large part of the passing offense now. And the second area is just Tyrann Mathieu, you know, it being his contract year. I heard a lot of in the offseason about his worth because he's the leader of the defense. You know, with a defense performance and the obvious breakdown of communication, particularly in the backfield, you know, doesn't he own that? You know, I ask that because of the overt frustration he really does show when something breaks down. I love his passion. You know, I'd never change that in a minute. Love him on the team. I mean, he helped us win that Super Bowl, and we'll always be a huge fan of it. But when those break down, isn't that on him? And how much of a factor is that when we're deciding his contract, you know, later on? And that's all.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call, Sal. I appreciate it. Let's start with the comfortable part of the equation with Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he looks uncomfortable, but I think this is a different style of offensive line. And I think one of the things that they're doing with their tackles is saying, don't get beat inside. Shove it upfield, and Patrick will step up. They feel like they've got a good guard-to-guard to where they're not going to get beat on the interior. And so Mahomes, I think by design, is supposed to play in the pocket more so like Tom Brady. Step up, step up, step up, step up. I think he's doing it more because I actually had somebody text me and say kind of the opposite, that he seemed to understand that he needs to step up. He's getting in a groove with his offensive line. Somebody else looked at it and they thought he seemed in sync with the offensive line. That was their takeaway from watching that game. I think it's going to be a learning curve because you're asking him to kind of change what he does. I think he's a guy that's always, you know, kind of moved in the pocket, back to keep that escape hatch so he can evacuate and get out and extend the play and look to make a play down the field. And when you step up, you can step up into the pocket, but you are starting to say, okay, there's only about 2 or 3 seconds left in this. It gets harder to escape, right? It's certainly to escape and extend. If you escape, you're pretty much moving forward. I'm going to take what you can get. It becomes a ground game. So that's one of the things. We may find out that Patrick Mahomes never gets comfortable. I think it's a very good question. Is he comfortable? I don't know. Only he knows. Only probably Andy Reid knows. Can he kind of redefine his game? Certainly when he gets older and doesn't have the wheels, he's going to have to redefine it that way. So over time, it'll evolve into that on its own. He'll have no choice. But right now, does he feel kind of antsy because he wants to escape out to the side and extend the play, and now he's got a line that's shoving the defenders up the field, and that those opportunities aren't there? I don't know. I think that's an interesting thing to watch.
And on one of the two sacks he had yesterday, I believe it was the second one, right after the Chargers went up 14-0 in that next series of downs, he had a little deeper drop than you would ideally see, and a combination of Bosa and Tranquil met him at that spot, and that's the first thing I thought was that's probably a drop that he is a little, at least one step deeper than it should have been, and that got him in trouble.
Yeah, so it's I think that is a work in progress, and I think getting in sync with this offensive line is real, and I expect him to get more in sync over the course of the season as long as there aren't injuries. So, I think, like I said in the opening, I believe they're catching up. As far as Tyrann Mathieu and the miscommunication back there, is it on Mathieu? It's on everybody. Like, it's not just one guy who goes, you go here, you go here, you go here, you go here. Tyrann Mathieu, and I know this wasn't your point, but Tyrann Mathieu doesn't have time to tell 10 other guys where to line up.
No.
They got to know where they're going. And so one of two things. Either the guys aren't smart enough for the defense or haven't put in enough time to understand the defense, or the defense is too complicated. We'll hear more of Steve Spagnuolo a little bit later on. I think he kind of goes down that road with one of his comments and, basically talks in terms of that. But I think it bears watching, but I don't think the fault is with Tyrann Mathieu. They've got to get things to where everybody knows what their role is. And apparently that's why Juan Thornhill doesn't play. He doesn't know what his role is. He doesn't know his spot within the scheme. And that's a little bit scary. Rodney, you're in the program. What's going on, Rodney? Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
I have an interesting take on that. I really feel like that. So, what was the point of dropping a running back in the first round when you don't use him?
The day he rushes for 100 yards is the day you've decided it's time to call with that one?
Nah, I've been waiting for it, but I know you and a lot of other people mentioned about, when is Clyde is going to be involved in the passing game and everything, and I'm like, okay, when you look at the game, we've been wide open in the flats, but at the end of the day, there's only one guy that can get him the ball. And I understand that he has his guys that he's very comfortable with. It's very understandable about who he gives the ball to. But at the same time, drafting, you ask, who do you want? You got who you want. Let's try to get him the ball. I mean, and also, let's try to get him in more running back routes. I know running out into a flare is not the only thing that a running back can do. If Patrick Mahomes and the offense wants the pressure of the pass rusher off of him, running that draw play will work. So when I hear a lot of everyone on the radio during the game, they mention Trey Smith a lot because of the counter play and how he laid guys out and pancaked guys and getting 7 yards, 7, 8, 10 yards on carries. And I'm like, that's the only way you can stop the pass rush. When you watch your linebackers not even committing to the run on the RPO, that should say a lot. And I know I'm not the only one that sees it. So I just wanted your thought on that.
Yeah, I think, listen, Rodney, I'm in agreement with you that now I don't want to see them. And thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate the time. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire has more to offer. And we saw him be very effective running the football. The Chargers were the 30th defense against the run coming into this game. And
he called his shot, essentially, when he spoke on Friday. There's some situations where we think we can run up the middle on some of those plays. And he did that.
17 carries for 100 yards. He obviously had a good day, and he did score a touchdown. Only two catches for 9 yards, but one of them was for a touchdown. So I think they got him a little bit more involved. But I don't know why Clyde Edwards-Helaire couldn't have six targets, six catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown. That's what Austin Ekeler had.
Yeah.
And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is as talented as Austin Ekeler, and I would like to think that you can get him involved in the passing attack. I do think some of it, as we discussed, is Patrick Mahomes seems to want to push the ball down the field. And I think this is something where Eric Bieniemy, Mike Kafka, Andy Reid all need to say, listen, you got this kid right here.
Yeah.
Like, he's there. Give it to him. Let's get him going. Let's see if we can't get some big plays. Let's use him as the body blows. If they're going to take everything off the top, then go ahead and just take your 5 or 6 yards if that's all he gets. But I'm here to tell you, I think he's going to miss, and he's going to take a lot of easy dunk passes and turn them into 12-15. They are not dropping the linebackers and everybody else back and taking away Tyreek Hill and up pressing on the running back. Yeah. You can't do both.
And he's one of those guys where, generally speaking, he's not Gale Sayers in that regard, but the first guy who's there, you could probably forget about him unless something goes wrong in that situation. And much as Eric Bieniemy said, you know, no one's caught up on it, but they have to realize that that actually isn't true, despite what the public statement was, because they clearly are playing them differently, and it's causing some issues with the downfield passing game. And just to be able to go to Patrick Mahomes and say, hey, look, the days of you wandering around there and chucking it 40 yards in every play, those are probably done. You might get occasional, but you can't count on that. This is what is open. This is a playmaker we have. Take advantage of it.
I think there were times that you know, I was really watching that, and I was like, just throw it out to Hilaire, Edwards Hilaire, and he'll buy time. Now, listen, when he smokes one downfield for a 35-yard game, we're all excited. Mm-hmm. Right? When he ends up throwing it away, could you have just dropped it to Edwards Hilaire and yeah, grabbed 7 quick ones right there? I don't know. I mean, I think that's the balancing act. That's the evolution. That's the maturation of Patrick Mahomes. Marty, you're in the program. What's going on, Marty?
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. Appreciate
you
it. You're right. Edwards Hilaire is as good as Eckler, but Eckler's an undrafted free agent compared to Hilaire's first round pick.
Well, and that's – and look, it's I called that draft pick the ultimate, you know, enigma for me, because it was the best running back I thought for the Kansas City Chiefs at a time that I would never want to take a running back, and that's in the first round. So,
right.
And to this point, you should not take a running back in the first round. Jonathan Taylor is pretty good in the second, although the Chiefs were going to have – they would not have gotten to him without trading up in the second round. So I know everyone – I've heard a lot of talk about, well, Jonathan Taylor, they could have waited in the second round. Not with their second-round pick. He went before their pick came about. So, no, he wasn't available. You got to go look at guys in the third and fourth round, and there are guys that are there. But, I mean, to your point, I think you can find running backs. I mean, Peyton Barber, ask fantasy nerds. I picked up Peyton Barber. How many people picked up Peyton Barber this week who need a running back? Hell, he's going to start for the Raiders. Let's give it a shot. He goes for 100. They're out there to be had. But I do think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a pretty talented guy once they get him going.
Oh, he is. But as far as running backs go, a lot of New England was Brady and having the rest of the AFC East as weak. But one thing it did do well was, you know, they get Rex Burkhead, Sony Michel, a bunch of average running backs. And like you just said, the defense is scared to death and they're going to play nickel. They, like many times I watch a Patriots game and Brady's hand off and you get 4 yards, 5 yards, 4 yards. So yeah, prime top, Hall of Fame quarterback, you can always get an average running back and it keeps us that much better. But the roster makeup of this team concerns me. After Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill, the big three, I think we have a bunch of problems. I mean, how many years have we gone to the scrap heap to get corners? Yeah, Charvarius Ward is decent, but, you know, Standrick, Amerson, all those guys, Mike Hughes now. I'd like to eventually get a corner, invest in a corner somehow. But then, but again, our cap room isn't the best.
Well, that's where you have to be able to do like what just happened with C.J. Henderson being
I saw that.
I mean, he was the number 9 overall pick in the 2020 draft, and he just went. There's a backup tight end, and a fifth went for him and a third.
Yeah, the Jaguars traded Henderson and
a fifth
for tight end Dan Arnold and a third.
And
so they swap players.
Not enough roster turnover. If you look back at the Chiefs-Titans game, Alex Smith last game, Sorensen was on that team. Marcus Kemp was on that team. No one's better. I mean, we signed Hitchens. He's making $10 million this year. And I've never been impressed with Hitchens as a linebacker for us.
He does line guys up, which seems to be a big – well, I mean, this is what they tell us, right? We're told by Steve Spagnuolo about how he gets everybody in place and how important he is and all those things. But
if he's that important, you can't get Thornhill on the field. Maybe it's time to, like you said, Bill Self, though. You have the players. You create a scheme or whatever to – put the best players in there instead of making the players fit your scheme.
You're preaching to the choir, man. I mean, look, I think that's one of the issues. And, Marty, thank you for the call. Let's keep in mind we're sitting here under the veil of a 1-2 start, 2 painful losses and a narrow victory, true, but 2 very close losses that could have been wins. They rattle off 5 wins in a row. and are sitting at 6-2 and back atop the AFC West and have beaten some people by a decent margin. And Willie Gay Jr.'s come back and is flying all over the field, knocking people on their butts. And Juan Thornhill got, what, 25 snaps, I think it was, this week?
19
snaps this week. Gets up to
Which
where
is
he's...
more than I saw him.
Yeah, he's playing 45, 50 snaps, and he's got a couple of picks under his belt and another forced fumble. We could be saying something real different, right? But right now there's no doubt until... And it might be next year that Nick Bolton, I think, is going to move out Anthony Hitchens at middle linebacker, and we'll see. But Bolton is playing. I do kind of think that when Willie Gay comes back, if he plays, it's Bolton that's going to sit down. And so you're not going to – it's not going to be a net gain.
It's not going to be Ben Neiman.
Right? I hope. But we'll see.
Right.
So, yes, they do have to be able to get younger players in. And I said that – I said, how is Marcus Kemp still on this team 4 years later? Like, I think that's one of the things the Chiefs have to be able to do a better. I know what it is because he's a good special teams player. But you got to be able to make a good special teams player out of a guy who's got the potential to be a good receiver. Like, I'd like to think that there's a young guy that you're like, you know, this guy could be a blank. He could be a, you know, I don't want to overstate it, but just a good, solid receiver. Let's build him up as a receiver, and we know he can go down and cover kicks. Marcus Kemp is never going to catch 800 yards and 8 touchdowns in this league. It's never going to happen. Nope. So how is he still on this roster? I think that's – and I'll tell you what they'll say is, well, special teams are important. And I agree. But if you've got the best special teams coach, then he should be able to work with just about anybody. And yeah. If you lose a little bit of ground in special teams – but Gain can find a guy who's a frontline starter somewhere else because you kept turning that spot over, trying out another receiver. Let's get him in here. Let's work him in the system for a year. Let's see what we got after a year. I think at some point you're going to find a diamond in the rough at the receiver position.
And if he's on the roster because he's a great special teams player, fine. Just don't have him run crossing routes in the red zone.
Fair point.
Let him do what he does best.
913-3810-810. We'll take more of your phone calls next here on the program.
Program with Soren Petro.
Yes, I like bacon on whatever because bacon is pure. It is bacon. It is wonderful. Everybody likes bacon.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Talking Chiefs football to get things started here in the program. 913-3810-810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Pete, waiting patiently. You're in the program, Pete. What's going on, buddy?
Pete,
go for it.
This is Steve, but I guess I'll be Pete.
All right, we'll go. My bad.
That's all good.
Go ahead, Steve. What's on your mind, buddy?
I wanted to start this with, in no way would I blame the refs for that loss, and I know that flags get swallowed up on the last play of the game, but curiosity, did either of you guys think that what happened to Tyreek and Kelce seemed a bit egregious? I mean, it almost seemed... like a criminal mugging.
Yes, it was on our list of topics we discussed this morning and we were going to get to at some point, so I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I can't say that it's any worse than what happens on all the others because usually the Chiefs aren't on that position. So I don't know the last time I really was, you know, hell-bent intent on whether or not they're going to call pass interference on a play like that. So maybe that is how it goes on all the time. But I think it's ridiculous. I think it's clearly pass interference. If you're going to have it in the record books, then it should be called. And to me... it's another example of how referees manage for the post-game press conference. Like, they call flags based upon what's going to be the least resistance, not what the letter of the rules are. And yeah. I think it's atrocious. But I think the NFL referees are atrocious.
No argument here on that. All right, thanks.
All right, I appreciate it, buddy. It's total crap. Now, if that's how they're going to do it, it's fine. The Chiefs better make sure they sure as hell play defense that way. When they go down there, and if that's the case, then you got to start coming up with the play like the Tyreek Hill play in Dallas in 2017 at the end of the half. Because if they're going to allow you to just tackle the receivers, you're never going to complete that ball.
The referees thought they're going to get crap either way. Let's take the least amount of crap and let's.
They're not going to get national crap. Yeah. They're just going to get Kansas City crap.
If they'd called a flag and the Chiefs had won the game on the final play because of that, it would have been the number one play in the league yesterday.
Dwayne, you're in the program. What's going on, Dwayne?
Hey, what's going on, Saran?
You, buddy. What's on your mind?
It was a lot until I sit and listened to the conversation that was being had. I was sitting there thinking about when Patrick Mahomes had Kareem Hunt, and I was thinking that this whole adjustment period is him adjusting, having a running back coming out the backfield, a running game. But this is exactly what he had with Kareem, and it seemed like that deep pass was more of an option. I just wonder if he's not having a problem adjusting to that, like you're talking about, them putting that umbrella and forcing the Chiefs into that short passing game. If him adjusting to that isn't a part of the issue he's having, he just doesn't look comfortable having to throw that short route or that underneath coverage play. He doesn't look comfortable with that. And the more and more I think about it, he was fighting with that when he had a Kareem Hunt, you know, in the backfield.
Yeah.
But I really think, though, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dwayne. You got about 30 seconds. Finish up. I don't want to cut you short.
Okay, well, I'll be very brief. I just wonder if this whole thing with Clyde isn't really because of the lack of youth in the running game, the lack of being used to being hit with the ball, the contact, because they really don't hit in pads. And I really would want to get your input on that. The lack of hitting in practice, could that affect the fumble they're having with contact?
I think it could. And Dwayne, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. Sure, I think that could be part of it. Let's see what he does here going forward. But I think you got to practice like you play. And when you can't practice like you play, then it's going to be different when you're out there in those situations. So, of course, I wonder how much of it is just Patrick Mahomes was able to take those deep shots because they weren't playing him the way they're playing him because they were testing him because he was a young player back when Kareem Hunt was here. Now he's a veteran player. They're really taking that away, and he's having a hard time checking down.
Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, how many teams have had 33 first downs and 185 rushing yards at home and lost? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.